With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Sox Fest, Steve Cishek. It'll be an interesting new experience for you. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. What's the buzz like? What's the excitement like? You have done this on one side of town. You will now do it on the other side. And the expectations are, I mean, I have to imagine after reading what your manager has said about, you know, wanting to get in the playoffs, what your general manager has said, that this is the excitement you talked about as you put ink to paper and signed with this team.
Yeah, you know, I came in yesterday. They had the season ticket holders party. You got to meet a lot of the fans there, and it was buzzing. I mean, it was really something special to see the excitement from the fans. As a player, you're excited to be a part of this too. You know, the team is serious about winning this year, and that's why you play the game.
For somebody with your workload, not just career wise, but every year, just the amount of pitching that you do, how do you balance resting your arm with keeping it in shape?
It's always a challenge. So I like to early on in spring training try to, I wouldn't say, blow it out necessarily, but, have a pretty strong workload. So that way when the season starts, I'm conditioned to be able to handle it. So in the off season, I'm pushing myself in the weight room during spring training. We're going to talk about kind of what I like to do in terms of workload to be able to prepare myself from game one on through the rest of the season without, having any sort of setback where I'm injured or really sore. Like, I feel like if I push it early, it's like training for a marathon. The rest of it kind of becomes a lot easier.
You've been in the big leagues for a little while, a handful of teams. The workload, like you mentioned, has been high. We were just talking with the show before us in transition about the difference between, the guy in the bullpen that wants to be the mentor, like dad kind of or whatever. And then there's the guy who's happy to share some tricks of the trade. And then there's the other guy that you don't go by, right? You don't move around that chair. And when he gets up and moving around, the bullpen sits still and quiet. Where do you see those roles kind of evolving as baseball gets, its next generation in? What is the role of the mentor, if there is one, as a player now?
Yeah, I mean, as a teammate and, I've kind of been around the game for a little while now, you kind of want to be the guy that, helps the guys around you get better and by any means necessary, I've always tried to take pride in that, having those conversations to help young guys think through pitch sequencing or how they go about their routine, how to become consistent every day, big league ball player. You try to work those conversations in there because at the end of the day, you're employed by the White Sox. They're paying you to pitch, but really you want to make the team, if you can, that much better. And that's what makes you a good teammate. That's what makes you, want to be able to get out there and play every day is to make the guys around you better.
How have you played out the scenarios with the new rule of the minimum of three batters faced unless you end an inning, what that's going to mean to how we think of handedness in matchups, what pitches you're throwing which guys, because I'm sure there are unintended consequences that we're just going to find out as we go.
Well, I mean, I was fortunate enough to close ball games for a couple of years, and so I had to go out there and pitch entire innings, at one point in my career. So for me, it's not going to be any different, really. I think what you'll see is, as matchups play out, like guys are going to be, pitching in different innings. Instead of having you'll still have it like a solid seventh, a solid eighth inning guy, like you did when I first got called up. If there's a string of lefties coming up, you might not see. And I don't know this, but you might not see, someone like me, a sidearmer, face a string of lefties. Might wait till the next inning when there's a, the righties are coming up. And, it just kind of depends on the situation. But I know for me, like I've pretty much done it all at this point in my career, so I'm ready for anything that comes my way.
Do you think, because you've done it all, do you think there might be more value, like league-wide, for a guy who can maybe end an inning and start the next one? I'm thinking like get the last out and then deal with the next two guys coming up as a way to be more multiple out of the bullpen.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's the rule is, too, and I'm sure you guys know this, it's not like you have to face three batters. You can come in and face one hitter, get the out, and then the inning be over and you can be done.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, of course, I mean, you know, if you have a good matchup, the next two guys coming up in the next inning, yeah, absolutely, you can be run back out there. I don't see why not. And, you know, that's something, too, that I've done a lot of. I know a lot of other veteran guys, you know, that have played the game, you know, for a long time. That's what we've done our entire career. So try not to think of it any differently.
If they'd have looked at you and said, Steve Cishek, you're the deciding vote on whether this rule gets passed for 2020, would you have voted it up or down?
I would have voted it down because I'm a traditionalist. Like I like the rules the way they are. I like the matchups. I think it makes the game fun. But I understand too that, you know, fans, you know, sick of seeing, you know, pitching changes so much, and maybe this will kind of create the tempo of the game to work better. So, unfortunately, I'm not the rule maker, so I got to go along with, you know, whatever they say. But for me, I just like the rules the way they were.
I know you said you're a traditionalist, but if they'd have said, Steve, it's your job to come up with a rule that does fix some of the issues you mentioned with pitching changes and fans wanting to see a quicker game, which one would you have put in?
Yeah, see, that's a good question. So probably this one, especially in like September where guys carry a massive amount of pitchers. And it's just like pitching change after pitching change. You're like, all right, we get it. You know, you guys have a lot of pitchers. Great. So I think in September, it really, you know, rears its head. So, but yeah, if there was one change, this would probably be one where like, okay, like I get it.
The science of pitching has changed tremendously since you first broke in. And really, in the last 3 years of what we're able to measure and what we're able to know, what we're able to slow down and see. You interested in that? Are you, every once in a while, do you want to get into pitch lab and see, all right, how's it spinning? What's my horizontal drop? What's my vertical drop? What kind of run am I getting? Can you make sense of it in a way that helps you? Or do you say, you know what, I don't, at this point, I don't need any of that?
No, definitely. I think there's obviously room for the technology. I think if you buy into it too much, though, you're only going to hurt yourself. For example, and we talk about this a lot in the gym, where if you're a guy, like the computer says that, you know, you're a high spin rate, four-seam fastball up in the zone guy, but you can't execute that pitch and you keep getting hurt, then why are you still throwing it? You know, be able to execute, you know, your best pitch. So I think it can kind of be misleading. On the other end too, like for me, last year I had a hard time with my slider for like a month or so, where I just, for whatever reason, could not spin it out of my hand right. And sure enough, my spin rate on it was down. So that kind of leads you to look mechanically on why that's happening. So, you know, you can help diagnose some issues with some of the technology. I just think if you buy into it too much, it could be a little bit, you know, too much information for you, just get in your head. And so you gotta have to find that happy medium.
I wanted to ask about your slider because over many years, you see guys with your arm angle and release point sort of struggle with the ability to get drop on that pitch. Is that a goal, or do you want to go with more sweeping action than dropping action? Because I think it sort of changes the way your hand could be angled if you're trying to get spin over and around the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm somehow able to get drop, and my slider is working well. I'm able to get some depth to it. I think that's more effective to lefties, so I always try to throw like a depth slider to lefties, whereas a sweeping slider to a righty might be more effective from my arm angle. I just noticed over the years where I'll throw one, it might even be a mistake slider where it'll start in the outer half and sweep off the plate just horizontally, and I get a lot of swings and misses on it versus a lefty. I'm trying to sweep that thing under his bat and away from damage. So there's no perfect recipe to figure out how to do that. I just grip it and rip it as hard as I can.
At what stage of your career were you just sort of set in this is my release, this is my arm angle? Do you ever have coaches say, yeah, this isn't going to work, we got to change this? I mean, at what point was the success there enough that nobody bothered to say, look, we're going to make you something other than a funky release guy?
Oh yeah. So my second year in pro balls in low A in Greensboro, they wanted me to stand up taller and have a higher arm slot to create more angle to the plate. So I tried it and it did not go so hot. I got crushed. I couldn't throw any off speed. I threw a little bit harder, sure, but I was just getting murdered. So they that offseason, I was an instructor that you go back down to where you're comfortable. I mean, we won't say anything about it, but we need you to develop a slider. So I did that. Stan Meek, one of the scouts for the Marlins, taught me a spike slider, and it's clicked ever since. You know, it's been my go-to pitch from that arm angle.
I've always imagined from that arm angle, the grips have to be so strange to kind of figure out. I mean, you've been doing the job for a long time now, but I keep on thinking of, you know, the nerds with the cameras and whether they have to, like, reset the entire computer. Oh, it's like Steve coming in for work. We got to hit the reset button, all this stuff, and set it to sidearm.
Well, so they have the Rapsodo machine, and it's great. I like the info it puts out. Unfortunately for me, it doesn't register my pitches very well. I kind of have to bang it a little bit, just go off to what, you know, TrackMan's saying during the games. But oftentimes the Rapsodo won't pick up my arm slot.
What was it like pitching in Wrigley Field? I've talked to guys over the years, and the best way I've described that building, just being in it as much as I have, and Len Casper also has said this too, that it's an amplifier of emotions during games. The highs feel higher, the lows feel lower. And I don't know if we're just sort of projecting that, if it's something that players actually sense as well.
You said that Wrigley, sorry.
Wrigley is unique in that regard.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the place is electric. You know, I enjoyed my time there. I can recall one game where I went into the game thinking it was the eighth inning. It was a day game, I think against Pittsburgh. I get two quick outs, and I wasn't feeling too great that day. And all of a sudden, the crowd got on their feet and was, like, screaming, getting loud. I'm looking around, I'm like, man, what's going on right now? I look up at the scoreboard, it was a ninth inning last out. And, like, I was like, wow, this place gets electric for the eighth inning. But yeah, it got loud. It got me amped up for that last out. Started getting a little bit more nervous out there. I think Starling Marte was hitting and got him to fly out. But it was pretty cool.
Did you tell anybody afterward that you thought it was the eighth?
Yeah, I did. I forget who I was talking to. I was like, dude, I could have sworn that was the eighth inning. Like, you know, I didn't realize that. I think Mora was down that day, just taking a breather. And sure enough, it was the ninth. So we got to celebrate afterwards, so it was all good.
You get any decent fishing in this off season?
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to get a boat. I'm really into snook fishing in the intercoastal in the West Palm Jupiter area, and got to do some of that this off season. I was fishing one guy's dock actually, and now keep in mind it's a public waterway, but he didn't like me fishing his dock, so he started hitting golf balls at us. So.
We had a little
light confrontation and, you know, moved on out to fish another area. But it's just a funny story, you know. But, yeah, I love fishing.
Use, like, light spin tackle for snook? Or because some guys are fly fishing using streamer flies and all kinds of stuff for that.
Sure. One of my buddies tried that out. He's had some success. We typically use live bait, but I found this one. It happened to be during what's called the mullet run, where it's like smaller fish swim in schools, and the snook just attack them like sharks. And I found this lure that looks just like the mullet, and I throw it right in the middle of a feeding frenzy, and it was just hit after hit. I mean, it was incredible. So, I'm waiting again for the mullet run to come back next year.
What who have you gotten close to on this team so far? I know it's not been that long, but you mentioned you were at the season ticket holder event. I've hosted that. I know there's a bunch of people milling around, and guys get to know each other some. Anybody you've gotten you know, a good conversation in with?
I talked to Collins a little bit. You know, he had his first big league at bat against me last year, and for whatever reason, well, we knew he was a power hitter, so. I walked him on four pitches naturally. It was around the time where I was struggling throwing sliders, so we're trying to work on getting it back over the dish for against lefties. And Wilson, you know, just wanted to keep calling slider after slider against him. I'm like, man, he must know something. So I'm just going to keep throwing it. And sure enough, he kept taking slider after slider, and they were close pitches. I'm like, dude, why is this kid not swinging a bat? And he told me yesterday he was too nervous to swing, so it actually worked out in his favor.
What are your early impressions of pitching coach Don Cooper?
I was able to talk to him last week. You know, it's been great. I've already done my homework, you know, on the staff, basically asking players that have come through here, and everyone says great things about him. So I'm looking forward to working with him. You know, we're going to go over that schedule during spring training together and talk about what I like to do and get to know each other. So it's going to be exciting.
Steve, appreciate it, man. Enjoy Sox Fest. Looking forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.